Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started yesterday that I've entitled The Christian First Aid Kit. I know some of you don't watch every day, and yesterday I gave some introduction to this. I'm not going to take time to go back through this, but this is basically a brief summary of a teaching that I did either 25 or 30 years ago. We had one church in England that took this. The original teaching was called the Christian Survival Kit, and there were 16 teachings in it. And they took this teaching and went through that for 18 months. And they just studied these things. I mean, little by little, they would play a tape and then discuss it. And I mean, it just transformed that entire church. And there was a lot of good things that happened out of it. I've had people from England and Australia and lots of different places talk about the impact that that teaching had. And it's really a good teaching. And a lot of my teachings today came from this teaching that I originally did that was called the Christian Survival Kit. But it was 16 teachings in there, and because of that, I just haven't retaught this very much. And so recently at one of our Gospel Truth seminars, I did an abbreviated version of this Christian Survival Kit. I'm calling it the Christian First Aid Kit, and there's only 6 teachings in that, 10 less teachings, and that's what I started on yesterday. And basically, this is a teaching from John 14, 15, and 16. This is Jesus talking to his disciples the night before his crucifixion. He knew everything that was going to happen to them. They were going to be entering into a period of time that I believe was worse than anything that you or I was going through. They not only had all of the personal things that you and I have, but they had the weight of the entire ministry of Jesus on their shoulders. Satan was coming against them. They did not understand the resurrection. There was going to be confusion. There was going to be depression. There was grief and sorrow at the one that they loved so much they had seen him crucified. They were going to have everything that you or I deal with come at them, and I mean hit them like a train. It was going to be huge. And Jesus, knowing all of this, said things to them in these 3 chapters, John 14 and 15 and 16, trying to prepare them for what was coming. And you've got to remember the context of this and remember that this is less than 24 hours before they were going to just see Jesus crucified, look like he was totally defeated, buried, put in a grave just like any other man. Their faith was going to be shaken to the core. And less than 24 hours before all of these things happened, here's Jesus giving instructions to his disciples for the purpose of keeping them from being offended in between the crucifixion and the resurrection. And so the same things that he was ministering to his disciples apply to us. And the thing I started talking about yesterday is John chapter 14, verse 1. The very first thing that Jesus told his disciples in a crisis situation is, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The word troubled here, you could sit there and analyze it, but it just basically, it's not only talking about totally devastated, but you shouldn't even be worried. The word means literally to be agitated. We shouldn't be agitated. We shouldn't be worried. We shouldn't be fearful looking at things that are coming our way. And if Jesus could say this to his disciples the night before his crucifixion, well, then certainly we ought to be able to say that the things we're facing in comparison, the hurt and the pain and the fear and all of these things that were coming against them was much greater than what's coming against us. Now, again, I'm not saying that trying to minimize anybody's situation. To you, you know, this may be the most important thing in your life, but we've got to put it into perspective and realize that these people were facing harder times than what you and I are personally facing, and yet Jesus told them, don't let your heart be troubled. And one of the points that I started making yesterday was that for him to tell you not to let your heart be troubled shows that you have control in this area. And this is completely opposite the way that most people look at things today. Most people think that they are powerless. They see their emotions as nothing but like the caboose on a train. It's not the engine that drives the train. It's just a response to what happens. If a person does something to you, well, you can't help it. It's this person that made you feel the way that you do. That is not true. And this is one of the things that you need to learn from this. This is what Jesus was telling his disciples. They were going to see him crucified, and he says, don't let your heart be troubled. He would be unjust to give them a command if they couldn't do it. You can control your emotions. It doesn't matter what other people do. Jesus on the cross turned around and looked at the very people who were crucifying him and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He extended mercy and love towards people who were mocking him, who stripped him naked, who put a crown of thorns on his head. They mocked him and they said, if you are really the Christ, come down from the cross. There was nothing in the natural. There was no positive thing. And yet in the midst of this terrible situation, Jesus turned around and chose to walk in love. He chose to forgive the very people who were crucifying him. And every time I teach something like this, some people will say, well, yes, that was Jesus, but, you know, I'm not Jesus. I can't live up to those same standards. Right here in this very chapter, I'll be dealing with this later, but in John 14:12, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you. That means truly, truly. In other words, everything Jesus said was truth. But when he had to introduce what he was about to say by saying, I'm telling you the truth, and then repeat it and say, I'm telling you the truth, it was because he knew people weren't going to believe this. But he was telling the truth. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Jesus said that we can do what he did. We have been born again. There is a supernatural part of you. Boy, I wished I could talk to every one of you face to face. People just, they have a disconnect. It's like they hear my words and yet they just interpret this. They translate it into their own situation and they say, oh yeah, well that was Jesus, that's you, but I can't do this. I'm telling you, by Jesus giving this command and saying, let not your heart be troubled. This wasn't a suggestion. He didn't say, you know, if you can, try not to let your heart be troubled. That's not what he said. It was a direct command. He commanded them, don't let your heart be troubled. And by Jesus doing that, he put worth and value on you that most of you don't put on yourself. You can walk in faith. You do not have to be like everybody else. You know, most people really do not let the Word of God get in the way of what they believe. Most people just grab little truths from here, and if it's convenient, and if they can see that other people are operating this way, well, then they might try and go that way if that's the way that the crowd at church is going. But most people, they will look around, and if people are discouraged and if they're bothered by the things that are happening today, if terrorist attacks happen and everybody else is afraid, then even Christians get afraid, thinking, but, you know, we're just human. And they really relate to other people. There's a herd mentality among most people. But I'm telling you that we need to go by what Jesus said. Jesus is putting a worth, a value, an authority in your life that most people do not put on your own life. And yet Jesus' opinion is right. Yours is wrong. And he told you, you can let your, you have the ability, the authority not to let your heart be troubled. You can stand. I don't care what comes against you. And even as I say these things, I know that there's people watching me and saying, well, it's easy for you to say. You don't have my problem. And what you're doing is basically putting yourself in a special category and saying, well, the Word doesn't work. The things that you're saying doesn't work for me. And yet 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. It's common. When you think that you're the only one, you know, we've even got a song that I grew up singing in church that says, nobody knows the trouble I feel. Nobody knows my sorrow. And that song basically was saying, I've got it worse than anybody else. Nobody knows my situation. That is unscriptural. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. The moment you get to thinking that your situation is different and therefore you have a justification, for all of your discouragement and depression and doubt and unbelief and lack of faith, because your situation is just worse than anybody else's. And the moment you've done that, you have just canceled out the Word of God. You've exempted yourself and say, well, what you're talking about, Andrew, might have worked for you and it might have worked for some people you've ministered to, but it won't work for me because my situation is different. No, here's Jesus speaking to His disciples in a situation that was worse than your situation, and He started. The very first thing is you got to start believing. You got to recognize that there is a God part on the inside of you. Now, this is true of everybody, but it is especially true of people that have been born again. If you've been born again, if you are now a child of God, you are the one who is supposed to be overcoming the world instead of the world overcoming you. You don't hear this a lot today. Even in church, many Christians will approach situations and we've got this song that I literally hate this song. It's a catchy tune, but the song will kill you. And it starts off by saying, Lord, I'm only human. I'm just a man. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking for you. That's a sorry song. It'll kill you because you aren't only human. You aren't just a man or a woman. If you've been born again, you have God Almighty living on the inside of you, and greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And unless you have that attitude, if you just let problems come and you evaluate them only as a human being, and the doctor says you've got cancer and you're going to die and it's inoperable and there's nothing that they can do, well, that may be true for a person that doesn't have God on the inside of him. But if you are born again, you have the same power on the inside of you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And therefore, you should react differently than a person who doesn't have God on the inside of them. You need to stand up and just like Jesus is saying, I am not going to let this thing trouble me. I am not going to lose my faith. I will not get out of peace. And every time I go to talking this way, I'll have people who have gotten out of faith and have gotten out of peace, and they are disturbed and they're hurt, they will take offense and they'll think, boy, you're being mean to me. You don't understand and you're being harsh towards me. Look, I understand that people get into discouragement and unbelief, and I am not condemning you, but I am trying to tell you that you don't have to stay there. You don't have to live that way. And most people would rather have you come and just put your arm around them and give them a hug and say, we're praying for you, and cry as they're walking away, rather than tell you the truth and get you free. I am not insensitive. Matter of fact, it's because I do love people that I'm trying to be so forceful with this and tell you that we have been taught and it's been modeled to us that you are mere human beings and that you can't overcome cancer and you can't overcome heartache. And if somebody divorces you, you ought to be absolutely devastated. If your children die, you ought to limp through life. You ought to never be the same. There are people that are actually fighting for the right to be hurt and live in pain and limp through life because of their problems. And anytime somebody comes along and says that greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world, that you can grab hold of your emotions, that you can become better instead of bitter, and anytime somebody starts preaching victory, well, then the people who've embraced defeat are going to take offense and turn on you with a vengeance. And I have people do that to me all the time. And I don't know exactly how to deal with this other than to tell you that I'm saying this in love. I'm saying it for your benefit. I know that some of you are hurting and you think I'm insensitive to you, but I'm saying these things because I love you. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus saw a rich young ruler who came to Him, and it says, I forget the exact verse, it's around verse 20, and it says, beholding him, he loved him. And then he told him, he says, one thing you lack, go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me and you'll have treasure in heaven. Jesus put this, strict thing on him, saying, sell everything that you have. And this was a rich man. You know, he didn't do this to everybody. Zacchaeus, he didn't tell Zacchaeus that he had to sell everything. Zacchaeus willfully started giving and being generous. This is the only person he did this to where he said, you have to sell everything. Why was he so harsh on this man? It says, because he loved him. This man was deceived. Money had become his God. His trust was in money and what money could do for him and not in God. And Jesus was trying to break this dependence on money, this lust and love for money that was actually separating this man from God. And so Jesus said something very harsh, very hard to him, but it was because he loved him. I'm telling you that the Lord here told us not to let our heart be troubled. And some people look at that as, man, he is not compassionate. He doesn't understand. I need a hug instead of an encouragement. But, you know, Jesus said these things to his disciples because he loved them. I'm saying these things to you because I love you and I'm trying to get you the truth. I'm telling you that there is more power on the inside of us, especially born again, spirit-filled believers, than what most of us are operating in. Most of us are shooting at nothing and we're hitting it every time. We have been dumbed down. People have told us not to expect victory, not to believe for anything, just roll with the punches. We've been taught how to accept and embrace defeat. And I'm telling you, the very first thing you need to do when a crisis situation happens is you need to grab hold of your emotions, and instead of just getting down and acting like a mere human being and falling apart and crying and wailing and travailing and saying, Lord, I'm only human. I'm just a man. You need to stand up and recognize greater is He that's on the inside of you than he that's in the world, that you can overcome this thing, and you need to start responding in faith instead of responding in fear. You know, recently on our program, just the last few weeks, we played the testimony of Alan and Debbie Moore. Some of you might remember this, but this is the man that had a massive stroke. 1/3 of his brain is dead. And they've got an MRI that the doctor was on this DVD showing that 1/3 of Alan's brain was dead. And in the natural, he wasn't even supposed to live. If by some chance he lived, he would not be able to talk. He wouldn't be able to walk. He'd be in a vegetative state. And all of the reports were negative. But did you know that Debbie, his wife, I mean, she's strong as an acre of garlic. And this woman is a strong believer. And when this happened to Alan, they had been studying the Christian Survival Kit, specifically John chapter 14, verse 1. Don't panic. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe. And because of that, the very first thing that began to come out of Debbie's mouth were statements about, praise God, we're going to come through this. Greater is He that's in us. And she started speaking her faith instead of her fear. And there was many times they were in, I forget the details, but Alan was in the hospital, I think for a few days, maybe a week maximum, somewhere around there. And during this time, they were just giving terrible reports. And when it looked like he was going to live, then they said he'd never talk again, he'd never walk again. And there was just these negative reports coming. And basically what Debbie was doing was fighting with this verse right here. I refuse to come into fear. I refuse to let my heart be troubled. And because she wasn't troubled, because she was praising God and joyful, did you know the doctors thought that she was losing it, that she wasn't dealing, she wasn't facing reality, and she had to tell them multiple times, I understand what you're saying. I understand the gravity of the situation, but you don't understand what she was believing. And anyway, the long and the short of it is that Alan, within 1 week, it might have been a maximum of 10 days, was totally normal. They went back to work. I've visited with him a number of times. There is no effect on him. And according to the doctors, 1/3 of his brain is still dead. He's not supposed to be able to talk. He's not supposed to be able to walk. And he's doing all of those things. They are prayer ministers. They answer the phones for Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And he works full days and answers the phones and is just doing great. Amen. And you know how that happened? Because Debbie, Alan was out of it. But Debbie refused to let her heart be troubled. I believe that if she would have just been brokenhearted to see what happened to her husband. And you know, part of this is that she had been married before. And I may not get every detail right, but her first husband died. I think it was from cancer. And she had been grieved one time. She wasn't going to let this happen again. She was not going to let the devil steal from her again. And that attitude, that stance of faith is really what caused Alan to come through this whole thing. I just can't tell you how important this is. Most people just allow themselves to be totally devastated by all of the hard blows that life gives us. And then after they are just totally laid out and they are sitting there in hurt and pain and defeat and discouragement, then out of desperation, they get up and start trying to claw their way back to God. And praise God, there is no bad way to be healed. There is no bad way to succeed. But I'm telling you, there's a better way than just to let yourself be totally devastated and laid flat by the devil. And that is to stand in faith and don't ever get out of it. You know, when my son died, many of you heard me talk about this, but we were woken at 4:15 in the morning. My oldest son called and said, "Dad, I'm sorry to tell you, but Peter's dead." And I said, "Don't let anybody touch him till we get there. The first report's not the last report." And Jamie and I had to get up and get dressed. Took an hour to drive into town. And during that period of time, we had already spoken our faith. We had commanded him to come back to life. But you know what? I began to start having emotions, the same as any of you would have if your son, if you'd been told that your son was dead. And I began to have grief. I began to have sorrow. I began to have confusion. How could this happen? I began to have the same thing that anybody else would have. And you know what? This verse and this teaching, not only this verse, but many other verses that go right along with this. This verse came back to me and I just said, "I am not going to let my heart be troubled." And I mean, I felt like crying. I felt like giving up. And yet, I just knew that my first reaction was critical. And as Jamie and I were driving into town, you could ask Jamie to verify this. I just started out loud praising God, saying, "God, you are not my problem. You did not kill my son. It is not your fault. I am not mad at you." And I began to speak forth my faith. I began to renounce fear and grief and said, "I am going to bless the Lord at all times." Psalms 34:1. "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." And I began to start quoting scriptures and just blessing God. And when I did you know what? It just changed something on the inside of me. Faith rose up. The Lord reminded me of prophecies about that boy that hadn't come to pass yet. And I knew that they were from God. And all of a sudden, I mean, a spirit of faith rose up on the inside of me. And I wasn't silly about this, but I was praising God. And I told Jamie, I said, "You watch. This is going to be the greatest thing we've ever seen." And when we finally got into Colorado Springs, my oldest son, Joshua, came out and met us at the door. And he says, "I don't know what happened, but 5 or 10 minutes after I called you, Peter just sat up. He was in a morgue. He had been stripped naked. He had been put on a slab in a cooler, stripped naked with a toe tag on. He had been dead for nearly 5 hours. And he just sat up. And praise God, no brain damage. Or as he says, no more than he had before." Amen. And you know, I credit, of course, all of that goes to God. I'm not saying that for my benefit, but I'm saying one of the ways that he worked through Jamie and me and allowed this miracle to come to pass was because we didn't panic and we believed. I'm telling you, your reaction to these things is very important. The very first thing Jesus told his disciples is, "Don't let your heart be troubled." I'm telling you today, don't let your heart be troubled. If you are a believer, God lives on the inside of you, and greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You can draw on that power, and you can overcome these things that have come against you. I'm out of time today, but I've got more to share on this. There's a lot more I want to share, so I'll be continuing this on our program tomorrow. I encourage you to listen in and also listen to our announcer as he gives you information about how you can get this entire teaching I've entitled The Christian First Aid Kit.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Today's complete teaching titled Christian First Aid Kit was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. This series has over 6 hours of teaching and is available on either audio CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount. This teaching is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you contact us.
Today I'm offering this teaching entitled The Christian First Aid Kit. There's six teachings in there taken from John 14, 15, and 16. But this is just a brief synopsis of a teaching that I did nearly 30 years ago entitled The Christian Survival Kit. There's 16 teachings in there, so it's more in detail, it's expanded, plus it's teaching many of these tapes. I haven't retaught them for 25 or 30 years. So, you know, there's some benefit just to go back and see where I was 25 or 30 years ago. For those of you who would like it, we've got a special offer where we're putting both of these together and giving you a discounted price if you'd like to get the Christian Survival Kit as well as the Christian First Aid Kit. Listen to our announcer and he'll give you the details.
You can get the Christian First Aid Kit as part of the Survival Kit package. In addition to the Christian First Aid Kit, this package also includes Christian Survival Kit, a 16-part series. Together, these two series provide 22 hours of teaching. The entire package has a catalog value of $150. But today, you can get the Survival Kit package for a gift of just $125 or more when you order. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled Christian First Aid Kit Part 1 free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Effortless Change for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
John chapter 14, verse 1. The very first thing that Jesus told his disciples, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled."
When I looked into his face, I saw his eyes flittering. And so I yelled at him and I says, "You are not going to leave me."
Next thing I know, I'm down in the emergency room at the stroke center in Harris Methodist in Fort Worth.
One third of Alan's brain had not received blood.
The MRI scan of the brain showed a massive stroke.
They told me he was paralyzed on the left side. They told me that he could not swallow. They told me he could not speak.
They were saying he's going to need a stomach tube to be fed the rest of his life.
We were not very optimistic about the outcome.
We had spent that time in Christian survival. We had spent that time in harnessing your emotions. And I was harnessing my emotions. I was completely under control. And that's what disturbed the doctors the most. They were not going to speak death over him, because his life was in the balance, and I knew the truth, and the truth was going to set him free. And I knew it. I knew it would set everything free.
For more information on this and other stories, visit awmi.net. Click on Ministry News and discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries. Invest yourself in Charis Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today.